as we've looked at the problem in our blue gum plantations, I know a lot of the reports have been in the white gums in the farms around northern Tasmania, but in our blue gum plantations, what we're seeing, the reason we call it ginger trees is the staining that's on the stem caused by gum bleeding out of large pockets of gum just underneath the bark. And when we looked closely at those pockets, we found that they were formed in the growth ring that was formed in the 2012 and 13 growing season, so 2 years ago. That season was really notable because that the summer months were much hotter than average, and they ended in a record-breaking heat wave in early March of that year. This was a year that Dunalley fires were burning, all the fires around Tasmania. And that heat wave affected much of mainland Australia, and it extended south into Tasmania, where it was really pronounced in the north of the state. And all the northern listeners will remember the temperatures in Launceston in March were above 30 degrees for 8 consecutive days that year, and that was double the previous record. So it was a really hot period. And it's weather events like that, the trees respond by losing water really rapidly through their leaves. And when that happens, they often can't draw enough quickly through their roots from the soil, and the trees become water stressed. And stressed trees like that, when they're water stressed, will shrink in response. And I think that shrinkage, when they're water stressed, has caused the injury to the bit of the stem between the bark and the wood where the new wood cells are formed. And that injury response is the production of those gum veins and pockets we see, and red bleeding from the stem. So that's the first thing. That ties it to that particular...
Are there other ways of testing it, though?
Really, it's like a lot of these things. You see the symptoms after the event. So the only key we had to tie it into that event was the location of the damage in the stem. So we could tie that back to a particular growing season.
I'm asking because a lot of people are reporting it now, not any signs a couple of years ago.
Yeah, sure. And we first saw it in our plantations about 12 to 18 months ago. So it was over a year after the stress event. So they'd already formed a new growth ring after the damage had happened. We only started noticing it when the gum started flowing out of the stem. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the trees, in response to that stress, and I think this is happening a lot in the white gums, are weakened so that they're also attacked by insects and diseases which normally wouldn't affect healthy trees. And we're seeing some trees dying because they have subsequently been attacked by wood-boring insects particularly that have attacked the trees after the stress.
You've mentioned blue gums and white gums. Is a particular species most affected?
Well, they seem to be the two species most affected, both smooth-barked gums. We haven't seen it in any of the other trees in our plantations, for example. We've got blue gums and shining gums. We're not seeing any of those symptoms in the shining gum. So it is affecting a very narrow range of species. And I just wanted to make the point that there's no question that Phytophthora has any role to play in this. The two species that we're seeing the effect most strongly in, the white gums and the blue gums, are both highly resistant to Phytophthora. So in a lot of the plantations in the agricultural areas, there are patches of dead trees in the plantations. They died a couple of years before this event, and that was completely separate. That was after a particularly wet year. The year the Tasman Highway got washed out three times with that really wet summer, this really wet summer flooding, and that year was particularly bad for fungal leaf diseases because it was so humid and were caused by a disease completely separate from the ginger tree syndrome. And finally, I guess people are going to have hearing a lot about myrtle rust at the moment in the coming months, and this is a completely separate problem from myrtle rust, and the two shouldn't be confused. So if there's any confusion there, any listeners should refresh their memories and go to the biosecurity website in the Pipwe to find out more about myrtle rust.
Is it something that you worry about in terms of economic losses from a forestry production perspective?
Paradoxically, it's a bit of a benefit for us because the trees that were succumbing to this ginger tree syndrome in our blue gum plantations, when you look inside those trees, it wasn't just that stress of it, that event in 2012-13 that caused these gum pockets. They also had a propensity to form gum rings more widely. So those trees tended to have stems that were full of gum veins, and they're very low value for us for saw logs. And as we're growing our plantations mainly for saw logs and veneer logs, this particular extreme event causing obvious symptoms really unmasked that underlying problem that there was was in those trees. So we're able to identify the trees that have got these gum veins and cull them out from our plantations when we thin them.
What about the future production? If it's happened before, how do you rate the chances of this happening again in the future?
Look, clearly extreme events are of a concern to us, and part of our thinking about future climates is obviously what the consequence of that might be into the future for our plantations and some of these risks. So one of the things that we're intending to do as a response to this is to screen all our genetics trials in our plantations to identify, because the symptoms are now visible because of the stress event, we can go and identify the individual trees and track their progeny back to see what the genetic component is this. We can do that in our plantations. Clearly we can't do that in native forests, but nature tends to have its own way of dealing with things like that, you know, the strongest surviving to reproduce in the future.